Welcome to Word Perfect. You're listening to Siren Radio. My name's Steve Court, and we're going to have another interview today with one of the fantastic writers who has come through Impspired.com. And we're joined today by Claire Chilvers. So, Claire, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's great to be here.
I'm looking forward to finding out a little bit more about your latest release. So Claire's just released a book called Out of the Darkness, and she's had her launch for it fairly recently. So we're going to talk to her a little bit about the book, a little bit about the process of having a launch during a pandemic, and then find out what else is coming on in the future for Claire as well. So Claire, for those people sitting at home, just give us a little introduction. Who are you?
Well, I'm a scientist. I spent most of my life as a cancer researcher, and then I became briefly a civil servant and developed an interest in mental illness and founded a mental health research charity called Mental Health Research UK. So very much a scientific background, but always loved English literature.
Fantastic. So that sounds like a very interesting career to have been through them.
Yes, it was diverse, and it was great being working in the Royal Marsden Hospital at the beginning of my career, seeing the changes in treatments for cancer that were coming forward, and most importantly the hope that those treatments brought. And I suppose that some of that work was quite harrowing at times. And the way I escaped from that was through two things, really, music and reading a lot, and my love of literature, the theatre and so on. So I think that's been something that's been with me for a long time, although it was very recently, relatively speaking, that I started actually writing poetry.
Fantastic. So have you always been a writer, but you've just started taking it seriously, or has the writing been a new
thing? Well, the writing's been a new thing. I mean, my writing up until a few years ago was scientific papers, and I have had probably 200 scientific papers published over my research career. But I never wrote anything else, I don't think. Maybe the odd essay, but nothing at all. And then the thing that brought me to think about writing poetry was listening to Radio 3 one day. There was a programme which was a tribute to the poet U.A. Fanthorpe. Now, she had just died. This was about 8 or 10 years ago. She had just died, and I remembered her because she was head of English at Cheltenham Ladies College, which is where I went to school. And I didn't know her well there, and I certainly didn't know she was a poet. But I heard this programme, and they read one of her poems, and it's called Not My Best Side, and it is the most brilliant poem. And I loved it so much that I immediately bought her collected poems and started reading them. And after a while, I thought I would really love to be able to write, because she wrote about her everyday experiences. When she left teaching to spend more time on writing, she spent a while as a receptionist in the NHS. And she wrote some brilliant poems about that. They were both insightful and very funny. And I just thought, well, this is somebody who uses her life experience as the scenes for her poems. So I saw a workshop advertised at Cheltenham Literature Festival, because by that time I'd moved to Cheltenham and I was about to retire. And I thought, well, I'll go to this workshop and just see what happens. And the workshop was run by Daljit Nagra, and I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard of him at that time. And not only is he, of course, a brilliant poet, but he's also a brilliant teacher. And the workshop was, it was a bit awe-inspiring. Everybody seemed to know what they were doing except me. But instead of leaving with a blank sheet of paper, which is what I'd rather expected, I actually managed to write like two poems. And those were the first poems, and I was about 70 then. Those were the first poems that I had written since I was a teenager.
But there's a break then in that writing bit, but it's always been there if it was something you were doing previously. You've just sort of
rediscovered. Yeah.
And it's nice as well when you get to have those experiences. I mean, living in Cheltenham must be great, with the Cheltenham Literary Festival is obviously a great event every year, and they bring in some fantastic people. So to have had that kickstart from someone as notable as them is a nice reintroduction to writing as well. How did you find that transition from going from sort of academic papers to something more within sort of the creative realms?
I didn't find it that difficult. My first poems were not very good, and it took me a fair time to be satisfied with what I was writing, but the ideas came and the words flowed onto the paper quite readily, and I did a number of courses. I went on an Arvon course, which was absolutely brilliant, being locked away for a week in a farmhouse in Devon with a dozen people and spending the whole week writing was absolutely wonderful. So I did that. I joined a poet's workshop in Oxford, and I did this for a couple of years. Every Tuesday morning I used to leave at the crack of dawn to go and to the workshop, which Edward Clarke, who was a lecturer at the university, he led that, and that was very good indeed, and I learned a lot from the other poets who were there, all of whom were much more experienced and much better poets than I was. And then I met Angela France, who lives in Cheltenham. She's a published poet, and she's a senior lecturer at the University of Gloucestershire. And she ran a group in the local pub once a month on a Sunday evening called Buzzwords. And I used to go along to that. And there'll be a workshop and then an open mic and a visiting poet, and it was great. So that was really good. And I got to know her, and she said, why didn't I come and do a module on poetry at the university? So I did that for a year, which was also really good. Of course, I was by far the eldest in the class, but it was great being with these young people who had wrote in a very different way from me, but were full of ideas, and it was really good. And then I met Anna Saunders, who's the CEO of Cheltenham Poetry Festival. And I think I first met her because I went to one of the poetry festival events, which was in the back room of a pub or something, and it was great. And I met her and we got talking, and I've got to know her really well, and she became my mentor, and that's been wonderful because she's been a very good critic of my work and made suggestions about how to improve, and it's been really good. And we still have, most weeks we do a poetry share just for an hour or so, which is great, which is lovely.
That is good. And I think when you've got people around you that can help you with those kind of exercises and routines and things like that, it just keeps everything moving, doesn't it? Because you've always got that in the back of your mind that you're writing for a reason, and you've got a reason to sit down and finish something because you want to share it next week at the event. That's really good to have. So I definitely think that's one of the big pieces of advice I give to a lot of people when they're saying, oh, I want to write but I don't really know how, is to find groups like that, whether that's online or in your local town or city or anything like that, because it just gives you a point in the month or the week where you just stop and you turn your focus to the thing that you want to do. Otherwise life can be a little bit distracting and you never quite find the time to sit down or finish anything. And I think so those things are great, and it sounds like it's definitely been a real benefit to yourself in terms of kickstarting, getting from sort of coming out of that academic writing into where you are now, which is, well, I can say from the work that I've read of yours, very accomplished. So you're doing incredibly well. So tell us a little bit about the book then, Out of Darkness. So you've recently released it, haven't you?
Yes. The launch was week before last, so it's very new. And it came about gradually, I think it would be fair to say. I'd already been having quite a few individual poems or little groups of poems published in print journals and online journals. I mean, like Inspired, which has been wonderful. And I've loved having my poems published by you, Steve. That's been really great. So I gradually, during lockdown, I started to write some poems about being locked down. But then I thought, well, there are lots of people who are doing whole books about this who are far more accomplished than I am. And it almost seemed there was possibly even too much. There wouldn't be a market, I thought, for yet another book just about the pandemic. So I thought that I would bring together my poems into something which was a bit different. And so I started collecting up poems that I thought would fit well together and the pandemic poems. Now, to begin with, I had two sections. The first section was really about a life story, vaguely, and then the poems about the pandemic. And then it was actually Angela France, when she looked at the manuscript when it was in its pretty much final form, she said, well, why don't you interleave the pandemic poems with the others? And that actually transformed it. So what we've got is, it's sort of alive, but some of it's imaginary, some of it's based on memories and experiences. And then weaved through that is a thread of poems which are all about the pandemic and my experience of living through it. And the final poem is When We Come Out of the Darkness. So Out of the Darkness is the title of the book. So that's the way the book is put together. Now, I sent off versions of this book to a couple of competitions earlier on, and I got highly commended in one, but it didn't win, therefore it didn't get published. And I got some very positive feedback from another publisher who basically said I'd nearly made the cut, but it was just one or two off, and therefore they wouldn't publish it. And then I was approached by Frosted Fire, which is the publishers that are linked to Cheltenham Poetry Festival. And they asked me whether I would consider them publishing it. And I was delighted. So I then worked with Frosted Fire to put the final book together. I mean, basically, it was mainly just editorial at that point. The work was done. The poems were, apart from a few minor corrections, were there. Then put the book together and launched 2 weeks ago.
Which, by all accounts, went incredibly well. I was there for your launch for the first sort of 3 minutes before my entire IT system just decided to shut down on me. So I unfortunately missed it. But feedback in general seemed to be very, very positive about it. So how's it been going since then?
Pretty well. I've had lots of sales, mainly people who came to the launch, but it is going. Yeah, it's going well. Fantastic. Yeah, I'm very pleased.
Glad to hear it. Do you think it would be possible for us to maybe hear a couple of pieces from the book at this point?
Yes, certainly.
Excellent.
Okay, so the first one I'm going to read is, this is one of the first poems in the book, and this is about my birth, or perhaps not. You'll see for yourself. It's called The Foundling. I was born, yet not born. Arrived on the doorstep on a dark night. The angels put me down, blew a kiss, and went off to do whatever angels do on Saturday night. They found me in the morning, of course, when they opened the kitchen door to let the king in after his night out. He hadn't met the angels. Different pubs, I guess. They didn't know what to do with me. Didn't want to call the cops in case they found the loot in the loft. Decided to wait until they'd tidied up, moved it on, that I could stay till then. Of course, that day never came. It wouldn't, would it? Whatever was moved on was replaced. So I grew up, but I knew about the angels. They came by once in a while to check I was okay, to check my wings hadn't grown yet. The second poem that I'd like to read is about my time when I was at school. And this was a pivotal moment, in a sense, in my musical life. And it's called Mozart's Requiem. We had practiced every week with the fierce director who came to train us. Girls in shapeless green tweed skirts, neat cardigans, white shirts and ties, all shapes and sizes, but all could sing. The music, at first difficult, gradually became familiar. We were drilled to watch the baton, keep in time, count the rests, to listen to each other. End of term approached. We knew it, internalized it, could sing it from memory, almost. The first rehearsal with the boys from Dean Close School. We smartened ourselves up, surreptitiously turned over skirt tops to reveal a little leg, envied the girls whose sleek hair needed no straightening. We filed onto the stage, eyeing each other up, then called to order. A few bars, then the basses entered, tenors, altos, and sopranos followed, until we were all in it together, Requiem aeternam. Then the massed entrance to the Dies Irae, the sheer perfect noise of it.
Fantastic. I mean, two great pieces there. The first piece in particular, that had me absolutely hooked in it. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
That's brilliant. And I think that's, I want to say, very typical of your sort of style. That pace and that delivery is just, quite captivating. And I think that's hard to do, hard to achieve to the standard that you have done. And if you want to check out some more of Claire's work as well, then you can go to impspired.com. If you search for Claire Chilvers, you'll find some more examples of her pieces on there as well. So if people wanted to contact you or get hold of more of your work, where could they go to find you, Claire?
I've got a blog, and it's if you just go Claire Chilvers Poetry, and Claire is C-L-A-I-R, Chilvers Poetry, all one word, .co.uk. That's the website where, there are a number of my poems on the website and details about the book, and that's all there.
Fantastic. So that was Claire Chilvers Poetry, .co.uk.
That's it.
More information there if you want to go and get yourself a copy of the book or to just read some more of Claire's work. So thank you very much for that reading. And it leads us nicely into our first musical break of today's show. And we always get the guest on the show to select the tracks. Obviously, Claire is no different when we've asked her to do that. And actually, it's linked to the poem that you've just read, to your first musical piece, isn't it?
It is. Yes. Yes. Mozart's Requiem.
So my next question is normally, tell us a little bit about why you've picked this track. But I think the poem has already done that for you, hasn't it?
It has, yes. It was just the first, having joined the choral society at school, and the first time that we actually came to sing with the boys, because this was an all-girls school I was at, sing with the boys and an orchestra, it was just mind-blowing to me, and it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And when I left school, I joined a choir in London when I was at university and sang for a few years there as well. So that was an important part of my life, yes.
Fantastic. Well, what a great lead in. So this is Mozart's Requiem. Welcome back to Word Perfect. You're listening to Siren Radio. My name's Steve Court, and we're joined today by Claire Chilvers. We've just been talking to her a little bit about the book that's just been released, Out of the Darkness, and we heard some fantastic pieces there before Mozart's Requiem. Claire, what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about now was about the actual process of releasing a book at the moment, because the world for this sort of past 18 months has been completely different, hasn't it, since the whole pandemic bit kicked in.
Certainly has been, yes, very different.
So how did you find the process of hosting a launch and, you know, doing all of the sort of the book promotional bit that you would normally do whilst being confined to your own home?
Well, it had pluses and minuses. Normally, this book would have been launched probably as an event during Cheltenham Poetry Festival. So it would have been in the back room of a pub or some smallish venue, or maybe the local independent bookshop, Suffolk Anthology, which does launches. So we'd have got together there and people would have come, and it would have been lovely to see people and have a glass of wine together, and I'd have read a bit and got some of my friends to read or whatever. But it would have been a very sort of personal event. And this was different because doing it by Zoom, it meant that people who wouldn't have been able to come to a face-to-face launch were able to be there. So, for example, my children and my grandsons, one lot live in London and the other lot live in Manchester, they would have been unlikely to have been able to come. And then I've got friends all over the place, and they were able to come, which was, so from that point of view, it was fantastic. So I had at the launch probably about maybe 60 people on Zoom. But of course, on Zoom, there's no personal interaction at all. I could just about see who most people were, but it was several screens. So it was difficult from that point of view, and not getting any reaction to when I was reading at all was quite difficult. So I was just reading a set, and then I invited two of the people I've mentioned earlier, Angela France and Anna Saunders, to read some of their poems, and then I read a second set, and that was it. So it felt quite flat at the end in some ways, although I felt it was lovely that so many people came. It did feel a bit flat that I hadn't been able to hug anybody or or just chat to them afterwards. So it was a bit weird.
Yeah, definitely. I found the same, because I was a sort of a touring performance poet for a little while. And I used to really feed, it was the performance side of it that I loved. And so I used to really feed off reactions from an audience. And you know, if you got a good response to the first poem, you have that little bit more energy for the second one. And doing things online, all of that's gone. You've just got silent faces staring back at you on the screen. And it's and even then, you can't see everybody that's there. You see the five or six that it chooses to let you see. And so it's been a very strange experience performing in that way. But as you were saying, the flip side to that and the positive has been, just for myself personally, in the last few weeks, I'm doing something soon in Pittsburgh. I've done something in California recently. I did something I've been doing fairly regularly, an online event called The Couch Poets, which has been fantastic, which is in New Jersey. So, you know, normally that 3,645 miles would probably have got in the way of me just popping to an open mic night.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now the world has opened up a little bit and we're meeting new people and we're getting into these circles that are just far wider than, like you say, the localized thing that we used to be able to do. So it definitely has had some positives. But have you seen that it's had a knock on in terms of how the book is maybe selling, or how you're marketing that, or how you're having to go about marketing it?
Well, yes, very much so, because I suppose what I would have done, I would have sought out opportunities to go and read a couple of poems and then say, and here's the book, by the way, if you're interested. And of course, that's not going to happen. So it's been very much sort of word of mouth, and I'm not very expert at social media, but I put it on my Facebook page and I've tweeted about it, but that's really the extent of my experience. So it has been different. I mean, I guess after June, if there are opportunities, I shall certainly be out there wanting to read from it, and I'll go to things where there's an open mic and I can perhaps just read a couple of poems and just say something about them. So, but of course I've got no experience of marketing a book in normal times, so this is really the only experience that I've had, and it is just as it is. You just have to make the best of it. I think it's made me think a bit more about getting a bit more expert about on social media, which I'm absolutely not, and I need to do that.
No, it's definitely the way a lot of things have started to move, hasn't it, with the world sort of going online for this last year. I would imagine a lot of that will stick around even when we're allowed to start going out again. And in some ways, I hope it does continue, because like I say, I've had the privilege of going to so many good online poetry events all over the world.
Yeah.
I don't want that to stop just because the pandemic's over. I don't want to now feel like my world has to contract back down to just being that sort of 10 miles of my own home. You know, I want to think that we can keep that sort of international connection that we've started to build
yes,
do something with that. So
I think so, because everything has changed as a result of it, in the way that we interact with people and the way we work. And it's shown that working from home actually does work. It has its place, but there's nothing like actually getting together with people. So yes, but I think if we in the future we can use Zoom and Skype and all those sorts of things, but also be able to get out and about as well, it'll be the best of both worlds, or it should be.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I think in the past, when I the amount of times I've spent an entire day going to London to meet somebody for 45 minutes and then had to get the train home, you know, I've lost an entire day to a 45-minute meeting. I'll never do that again. Those things will now always be a Zoom opportunity. Like I say, but it would be nice to have that option to be able to get out and to mix with people and to, you know, get back to the theatre. That's what I'm missing more than anything in the world right now is getting into a theatre. That's I have a big aching theatre-shaped hole in my heart at the moment. But No, that's great. So it's for other writers that are sitting at home, because I get a lot after the radio shows, I get quite a lot of emails from people just generally asking for advice about how to do all kinds of things to do with getting into writing. If you were someone who is at home at the moment, who maybe is like you, or has come out of a career and is now looking to try and get into writing, what would be your sort of main advice to somebody in that position right now?
Well, I think joining a group, as you mentioned earlier, is a pretty key thing to do. And having, because a group gives one guidance, it also, a good group will give prompts and of things that one might want to write about. It will give a bit of a deadline, producing something for the next meeting of the group, as you also said earlier. So you have to knuckle down and get on with it. I also think, and this is something which has stood me in good stead, both with my writing scientifically and poetry, is don't necessarily feel you've got to start at the beginning. Start where you feel you've got something to say and write those words down and start there. And then you can go back and edit and add the beginning, rearrange things and all the rest of it. But don't, it's better to write something down and edit it rather than feeling you that the perfect poem's got to come out ready-made, because it's not going to. So I just think random thoughts. And the other thing is always carry a notebook around and just write down ideas that come to you, whether it's a view, a situation, whatever it is, just write a little note about it. And then that could be the seed of a poem. And I think, I mean, I've done some good online courses as well. There's something called Poetry Kit, which I've done a few of their courses and really enjoyed them. And they're online, and some of them are a week, some are longer than that. But that is fun. So and explore if there is a local stanza group. The Poetry Society has stanza groups around the place, and you might have one near you that you could go to. So I think it's I think working with other poets is really hugely supportive, and I think it really helps to hone one's skills listening to other people's poems as well as writing your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. I think that there's a tendency to feel that because writing itself is quite an isolated process, that the entire experience therefore becomes isolating, whereas actually you benefit most when you're engaging with other people and when you get that chance to hear other styles and other approaches to the same subject just gives you a new way of thinking about things as well. So I think that's definitely a benefit to writers everywhere. If you are looking for a writer's group, my main advice would be to get out and to have a look online. So at the moment, there's lots of things happening virtually, obviously, whilst we're still in a state of lockdown. But if you are still struggling and you can't find anything in your area and you're at a little bit of a lost end as to what to do next, then please do get in touch with me. So you can contact me on inspired@gmail.com. Send me a message, let me know whereabouts in the world you are, what it is that you're looking to do, and either I will be able to help you, or potentially through our now ever-extending network of writers, we'll have someone in your area who I might be able to put you in touch with, and they can help to give you a little bit more local advice for wherever you are in the world. But don't feel like you're stuck and you're on your own and you don't know what to do next. Do get in touch with us. We're starting to get a really nice community of writers through Inspired that are all very willing to help and to share their experiences, much like Claire was just saying. Claire, do you think we could possibly hear a couple more pieces from the book?
Yes. I'm going to read two poems. The first one is a very short poem, and it's quite introspective. And the second poem I'm going to read is actually the last poem in the book, which is about the pandemic. So I'm going to start off with The Badger. The Badger. I drive along the lane, not far from town, to my house, where my lover will come one day when he is ready. The lane unfamiliar, I struggle a little to find the way, then come to houses, dark shadows set back. In the middle of the road, a badger, unmistakable in his grey striped coat, unhurried, crosses the lane, pulls me up short from my reverie of a future that hasn't quite yet come. And then the poem, the last poem in the book about the pandemic, when we come out of the darkness. When we come out of the darkness, leave behind the half-life, a life of distance from others, a life without touch. Small touches, hand on arm, kissing the top of the boy's head, his arms round my waist in greeting. When we come out of the darkness, leave the live-streamed musicians, the dancers in their kitchens, actors with headphones. Share anticipation as we buy a programme, order interval drinks, see friends unexpectedly. But there were new experiences. Zoom calls to friends we rarely see, talking as we might not otherwise, because there was never time. We have had a surfeit of time. Time to waste, or time to spend on small things, reading, clearing out a room, finding walks close to home. When we come out of the darkness, will we still watch the clouds pass?
Absolutely brilliant. And that is, I think, sums up exactly where we are, and thankfully where we are in terms of actually starting to come out of the lockdown things now. And I think there is that idea of how beautiful it was to have had the time and the chance to speak to people we don't always, but equally that longing for, specifically the reference that got me in there was ordering interval drinks and buying a program. That's what I can't wait to do more than anything.
Yes, yes.
But that's a fantastic piece. So if you've enjoyed the poems that you've heard from Claire on today's show, then you can get a copy of her book, Out of the Darkness. And the easiest way to do that is if you go to clairechilverspoetry.co.uk. All the links are on the blog site there ready for you to go to. And that's Claire, C-L-A-I-R. And you can obviously get yourself a copy of the book ordered. You can find some more of her work and find some ways to get in contact with Claire if you would like to do that. So, Claire, the book, I always speak to writers at a really interesting point, and that's usually when their books come out. So you've already done all the writing, you've already done all the editing, and it's already a physical thing that's been released and sort of set wild in the world. And then we talk to you about it. So what's next for you now? Are you stuck just in the sort of the marketing and the release of this book, or are you already working on something else?
Yes, I am working on something else. I've been working on something else for a while. And what I'm working on is something shorter than this. It'll be a pamphlet. So about 20 poems. And it's about my love affair with a small Greek island and the people there and the experiences there and the sunshine and the warmth on my back and the warm sea and all that sort of thing. So that's my current project. And so I'll soon be looking for a publisher for that. I'm also writing poems as they come to me and continuing to do that. I have a couple of little groups that meet online from time to time, and we share our poems and critique each other's work, which is absolutely great. And I suppose that I'm looking forward to being back at Buzzwords, at the local pub on a Sunday night once a month, and seeing everybody there and maybe going back to, we used to have a little group that met at a rather lovely cafe called The Sober Parrot on a Saturday morning. And we no doubt will get back to doing that at some point in the not too distant future. So that will be fun as well. But I've got loads to do and lots of things that I'm really enjoying doing. Yeah.
Fantastic. No, it's great. Really good to hear there's something else to come. And I suppose I would be amiss if I didn't mention that obviously Impspired is a small publishing press now as well. So if you are at a loss for where to send that next book, then please do consider us. But it's been really, really good to talk to you, Claire. I wish you all the best with obviously the book that's coming up now and everything that's to come in the future. We're going to play out with your final song choice. So I'm going to hand back to yourself for sort of one last time to tell us what the song is and why you've picked it.
Well, yes, I love Elton John, and this song, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, just takes me back to a year I spent in the States when I was in my 20s, and going in a big Ford car with a trailer and a tent and driving from the Midwest, from Minnesota, to California. And this just takes me back to that wonderful carefree time, and the time which gave me an opportunity to look objectively at my life back at home in England. And I learned just so much from that. But it was a great year. So, and it was a very happy time.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for being with us on today's show, Claire. And we leave you now with Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Who ain't got a penny, sniffing for tip is like you.